This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I absolutely adore those Tibetan singing bowls. And you know when you hear them? It's time for Beyond Ears and Eyes here on Cliff Central. I'm Liesl Tom on controls today. Palesa Mabuya. Hey, Pales.
Hello.
And then, as always, my bestie, Shemaine.
How you doing? Yes, indeed, I am your bestie. And indeed, I am Shemaine Harris. And today, we have something that I have wanted to talk about for the longest time. Very selfish, this one. Don't know how I'm going to flood through here, but anyway, I'm going to try. And our guest is transformation coach, teacher, healing facilitator, from firelightessence.co.za. And his name is Kevin McGee. Kevin, thank you so much for coming in here and welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Good to have you. So as I said, we're going to talk about, I can't even say it. That's how excited I am. Sacred sexual healing. Yes. What is sacred sexual healing?
Okay. Basically, obviously based in sexual energy. With religion and organizations and society has become so critical and judgmental about sexual interaction between people.
And controlling.
Women feel it especially, and also people with a different sexual orientation would feel it a lot as well. Basically, using sex to heal connects you to your soul in a very basic, very simple, essential process that all of us should be comfortable with as humans. But we're not.
Kevin, when you say using sex to heal, are you using sex as the tool, or are you healing your sexuality, which got damaged by all these, you know, judgments from society?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I'm not going to have sex with someone to heal them. No, that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not what I'm saying at all. But to encourage people to express themselves sexually with their partners, with their husbands, wives, or whoever.
With themselves?
And with themselves can be a hugely healing experience. One of the first, or when I'm working with, when we were speaking before, I mentioned that I do shadow work. One of the things that the first thing I do is help people love who they are.
Is that the basis of
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So loving who you are means loving your body. With the left breast bigger than the right, with the little bumps here and there in the stomach that's not quite there.
You're going with the left breast and bigger than the right, and I'm going with the left testicle.
Why do we use the right side? Just
to correct both of you, the right side is bigger. Carry on.
Oh, I thought it had to do with how you. Oh,
is this a law? Did I miss the instruction?
No, I just find that, you know. Carry on. Thank you very much.
All right. But one of the essence of it is to love yourself. And one of the first exercises I give people is to masturbate. But not done, finished. Okay.
It's not about the orgasm.
No. It's not. And if you can explore things like tantra, sexual interaction, sexual magic, it's not about the orgasm. The orgasm is the creative energy, the creative spurt. Yes. But it's not about that. If it's about building your relationship with your partner, it's about the interaction that happens through the process. It's not about the orgasm at the end of the day. So when I just want to give people the example of the first exercise, they can even try it. You have a shower, you lie in the bed, you relax, you chill. You get some baby oil, massage oil, candle, whatever, and you massage your body from the top of your head to the base of your toes. You massage every part of your body. You explore. Not, oh my goodness, I've got a mark there, or, but love every part of your body. And doing that includes a masturbatory process. Love yourself. You cannot be loved by anybody else unless you can love yourself.
So this is an intimate, this is a self-help, you know, like, don't want to say self-help, but this is on your own, where you actually go, I'm going to touch my body, my mole, my, I don't know, crinkly toes. But how do you get there if, you know, you really don't like your body? Because it's almost like a, it's almost like it's been, there was someone had a coup, you know, and took over your body.
Yeah, especially for women. I mean, we are told from the day our eyes open that we have to be this size, thin, long hair. Society's expectation placed on the female body. Just
and on the
that
male
weight
body
is unbearable.
The male body as well. Although men don't have that immediate expression, but being in the gay community, you also have that very much the same kind of scenario as well.
The, how you should look and
how you should look, what you should be, what car you should drive, all that sort of crap.
Now, when you said the first thing you tell people is to explore their own
themselves.
Bodies, which includes masturbation. Now, when it comes to religion, many, if not most, look, I'm not a religious scholar, but I know of religions where masturbation is considered an absolute taboo.
Yes.
In fact, it's a sin. You are going straight to hell if you touch yourself.
Correct. Because religions and society do not want you to be empowered. Because then you wouldn't be afraid. You wouldn't be malleable. You wouldn't be able to be controlled. So societies and religions do not like people like me at all. Because we encourage people to be individuals and think for themselves. And quite frankly, the feeling is mutual. I believe religion to be the biggest curse on humanity that's ever been thought of. Because controlling people sexually and women, why are women so discriminated against? Let's deal with that, because that's the essence of where you were going earlier. Because women are the creator. Women are the creators. Women are the ones that create life. Think about it. Sexual energy has got a masculine and a feminine aspect. Now, I'm not talking about what you have between your legs. Okay. I'm talking about the energy that is part of who you are. The feminine, the masculine energy, let's start with the masculine energy and think about it from a sexual perspective. What happens when a man has sex? He comes, he does his thing, dush, 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 and he goes. Okay. That is very iconic of the male sexual energy. It's exciting, it's passionate, it's sparking, it's a life spark as such. What happens with a woman? And I'm not saying that either of them enjoy or not enjoy this. We're not going into that. I'm just talking about the essences of
the
energy.
The biology now.
From a feminine side, what does a woman do when a man has sex with her? Okay? She embraces him. She receives, the feminine energy receives, and then takes what the man has given her, nurtures it, and creates life, if conception happens. But that's the ultimate idea of what sexual experience is supposed to be about, although it isn't.
Because when you were talking about it, the image that came was that women are kind of like incubatory, you know. It's like it's a nurturing space, and that's, you know, and that's probably where we go so wrong. And I think that when that is violated, we become manipulative because that's
correct.
How we can protect ourselves.
Correct.
But besides that, I still want to figure out how do you start teaching someone who doesn't love their body to start with, you know. Can you give me that process? Where do you start? My hands are, you know, not cute. So, but how do I start seeing that my hands are cute?
By practice.
Okay.
By basically, and I'll do a sort of transformation. I put it under transformation coaching process because I will do a series of processes with you, and you'll have certain exercises to do, and then you'll have to give me a feedback on each process. So today you're going to go and do your thing. You're going to masturbate. You're going to rub your self down and what. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what happened. Tell me what you'd liked, what you didn't like. Then I sit with that and I debrief with that process and I say to them, well, listen, why don't you like your left pinky? It's quite cute, actually. So mm-hmm. mine is straight, yours is skew. So, and I'll work with the issues underlying the skew pinky or the belief in themselves in a consultation kind of counseling process. Obviously, I'm not going to stand over them watching them.
Sure.
That would just
sure.
be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then eventually help them to interact with their partners as well and help and then massage, do their massage on their partners. And then we can talk about chakras as well. You can massage your partner's chakras.
Okay.
As you walk up, move up and down their body, and they can massage yours. You can connect the chakras visually.
Okay.
So you'll connect your base to their base.
So you sit across from one another.
Correct.
And you do it verbally, or you just, you know.
Well, you can say, okay, let's join our base chakras. We'll do a breathing exercise. I've actually done that in a group scenario. With someone, they obviously were naked, they were fully clothed, but I took a couple and I actually took them through the process as an example, and then you connect your base chakras. How does that feel? Right, bring the energy up to mm-hmm. your sacral chakra, connect your sacral chakras, right, move up. And then also you can take that into a physical sexual encounter in terms of moving that energy through the two bodies in one cycle as well.
Kevin, this masculine and feminine energies, we both should, I mean, we all should have a complete Correct. Set of our own, shouldn't we?
We should be in perfect balance, yes.
But that's the, isn't that where a lot of disharmony comes in? Because
yes.
women think that they should only have feminine energy.
Correct.
And
Correct.
men especially are extremely uncomfortable
yes.
with their female
yes.
energy and embracing
yes.
that.
Yes. Well, sexuality is also a whole different issue as well, in terms of the amount of sexual energy, of masculine or feminine energy you have within yourself. You'll have people on one side of the scale, men and women, who are purely masculine or purely feminine. I'm not saying they don't have any feminine energy, because your love, your compassion, your supporting, your nurturing comes from a feminine energy, whereas your action and activity comes from a male energy. So it's always a balance. And nobody's balance is the same as anyone else's. And this is what I'm trying to shift people's awareness away from. Just because my balance is this and this, doesn't mean your balance has to be the same. Your balance can be totally unique to you. I don't have to be a big butch soccer playing dude to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll find it in the gay community as well. There's a lot of gay men that are incredibly effeminate. And I mean, I'm not judging them at all. I'm just saying that's there are people like that.
But
and I was like that for a while. And then I kind of got over myself and realized I don't have to prove that I'm gay. I am gay.
There are also straight people who are
yes.
either extremely what we term butch
yes.
or effeminate
yes.
for the males,
yes.
you know, and
yes.
then we go like, but, you know, how does that work?
Yes. No. But remember, your sexual energy is not necessarily your sexual orientation.
There you go.
Or your sexual
or
identity.
Or your sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
Those are each three individual concepts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily, you know, par for the course, that because you have this level of sexual balance or male-female balance in your body, you're going to therefore be gay or straight or how many definitions of sexuality are there? Oh, my Lord.
You know, I read the other day that the Native Americans, before they were colonized, had five distinct different genders.
Correct. Correct, yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Which were they?
I'm quite interested to find out.
I must see if I
can't remember
right.
them, but
no
I know that was the male, female. Then there was a male that that preferred being with men. There's
okay.
a female that preferred being with woman,
mm-hmm.
and then the third one was a person that had no sexual inclination
the
or
asexuality.
No wishing. Yeah, sort of asexuality. Yeah.
So and but
if I remember correctly, we'll have to
yeah.
research it and get more info on that.
It's interesting because today there are more. There's like bisexuality as well. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, intersex people.
Polysexual,
and transsexual.
And,
you know, so it's amazing that it's, you know, people are starting to embrace that side.
But that also brings in another interesting concept, is why do we have to label ourselves?
Mm.
Why do I have to have a label that says I am bisexual, I am transsexual, I am a witch, I am a pagan, I'm a Christian, I'm a South African? Why do we need those labels?
Mm.
we feel this identity. And I mean, I know often I've gone around calling myself a witch because that's the closest concept that people will understand what I do. Well, I'll call myself a transformation coach because it helps people understand what I do. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly what I do.
I think the labels are shorthand for who we are, to briefly give people a glimpse. But we identify so strongly with what we do as our label.
As a label. I mean, there's a lot of people, for example, we're getting slightly off the point here. I'm now being focused. Look at me. Getting slightly off the point.
We're getting here. I'm just actually thinking here.
People, you'll meet someone and they say, "Hi, I'm James. I'm an accountant." I don't care. I don't care what job you do. And that's what I'm saying about the labels, is that we, yes, I label myself as gay. I'm not saying that I will never sleep with a woman, because maybe a woman does come along that I want to sleep with. And I don't feel that I need to justify that to anybody else or change my label or change my identity either.
But who you sleep with has got nothing to do with your energy balance.
No, it doesn't. No. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
So this sexual healing thing that I do want to get into is like, you know, you started this or you're teaching this. And normally they say that people who have had problems, you know, in that area where they feel sexually comfortable with who they are, in you know, they kind of like they go either off course, well, mainly off course, they're either hyper or they go into drugs or because they can't figure out what it is. And it normally happens when they're young, somebody violated them sexually, and then you kind of like it touches your whole entire life.
Yes.
Because that base has been disrupted.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, what are the ways that it can play out in one's life?
There's a thousand ways that it can play out. But in terms of sexual healing, the sexual side of things is more of a side effect than the actual process. Work with sex and sexuality, absolutely, but it's more about, on a conscious and unconscious level, accepting what's happened. And you mentioned being violated or raped. I've been raped, violated, etc., etc. How do you get past that? And how do you explain that this kind of stuff even happens? It happens because you as a soul need to experience a higher level of awareness. Okay. Those higher level lessons are forgiveness, unconditional love. You will draw a violation scenario into your life because you have to learn to forgive. The only way to get past a sexual violation is to learn to forgive yourself and the other person.
I think that is very important, because from all the research and all the interviews I've done over the years, victims of sexual offences always blame themselves.
Yes.
As if they had some control over this.
Yes. Well, I found out something very interesting that I actually didn't know, and it happens in men and women. When a woman is raped, I think it's 98% or something, I can't remember the exact percentage, of women will have an orgasm during a rape scenario. Wow. And men will get an erection.
Well, I don't know if it's an orgasm, but women who are raped have a physical secretion to protect themselves from injury. That is what Alison said in that book of hers, and I thought that was extremely fascinating.
But also, a lot of women will also have an orgasm, a physical orgasm. Now, how do you... And that is what screws their brain. That's what screws their brain, not the violation. They can actually get over that. The fact that they had an orgasm.
That their body enjoyed it.
Then they think there's something wrong with them, and then they go, okay, well, why did I draw this into myself? Mm-hmm.
Or they say it betrayed them. The body betrayed them.
The body betrayed them. And a man will have an erection. A man can be raped by a woman. Believe it or not, they can be. Okay. I've heard of a story where they actually stuck something down the urethra of the man's penis and tied his penis there to make sure that it stayed up. it's horrendous what can actually happen. But a man will get an erection and he'll be going, what is going on here? I don't like you. I don't want to be with you. But doing, hello, everything's happening. It's a psychological, excuse my expression, mindfuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to deal with. So you need to deal with the betrayal, not the violation. Because the sexual violation is not about sex. Mm. It's about power. It's about anger. It's about hatred. It's about aggression.
Control,
it's not,
yeah,
and control. It's not about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that sex is the way that abuse is expressed.
So how do you get your power back? Because obviously that's the seat of your creativity. That's where you, your base is where you move from.
Mm.
You know, that's your daily direction.
Yes.
How can one get it back effectively without forcing yourself? I know there's this woman, Psalm, she just died. I'm sure you know of her.
Yeah.
Do you know of her? Psalm Isadora.
I've heard of her, yeah.
And she was one of those people who came from a space where she was violated by her father sexually when she was young. She went off at a tangent. And then she just decided, I'm going to turn this on its head, you know, and use that very thing that floored me to assist people on how to use it as a guide for how to go ahead with your life.
Exactly. It starts out as a counseling process, but also the main thing is to come back to forgiveness. There's 100 different forgiveness exercises that you can work with. You can just research them on the internet. There's hundreds of meditations and stuff. But your forgiveness is where it starts, and that's the most difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you forgive a father for doing something like that to you? Well, if I give you a little bit of, I mean, not from a sexual perspective, but how I've healed and learn through forgiveness. I was adopted, so I was rejected by my birth mother. When I came out as gay, my parents kicked me out of the house. I was going to be a Catholic priest. My church kicked me out when they found out I was gay. And I've had to move through that. And in the process, found the odd rapist person abused me and all that sort of thing. And I would not be sitting here with you today if that had not happened. I would not be able to be sitting here if every single thing that happened in my life had not happened and I had not forgiven and moved on from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to say to a person, a woman, a man, who has been raped and abused and is in that deep victim mode, it's very difficult to say to them, you have value, stand up and stop it. But I cannot change you. I cannot force you to change. I can guide you. I can help you. I can give you exercises until they're coming out your. If you don't commit to that process, if you don't decide, like that woman you were talking about, listen, I'm not going to be a victim to this anymore. I need to move past this. What do I need to do to move past this? I need to forgive myself. I need to forgive the person who did it to me. I need to feel better about myself because, again, it's about your energy signature.
Mm-hmm.
So you sending out an energy signature of victim, you're going to draw more abusers to you.
Mm-hmm.
You literally do have a sign above your head that says, come and beat me up because I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take an abusive man, then no abusive man is at where Oprah is at the moment, going to go up to Oprah, flirt with her and abuse her. Okay? Ain't going to happen. They're going to take one look at her and go, hey, I don't think so. Okay. But why does it happen to some woman over and over and over and over and over again? Because they are not shifting out of that victim mentality.
So you're saying start with the mind first.
Start with the mind, start with the body, with both.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask you and just make, have you make it clear that we are not blaming victims. We are not saying it is because a victim is in this victim mode.
No. Energetically, you will draw energetically people to you that will express what you believe. But I'm not saying that you're going out and wanting it to happen. No, not at all. No.
So once that's fixed, what can happen in your life? Once you go like, okay, I've had you know, samples of energy healing. I've had meditations and done all this and the other. What happens? How does one's life transform? We can even start with yours. Once you went through that process, what happened to you?
I started doing counseling and reading for people.
Okay.
I started helping other people heal. There is nothing more rewarding than sitting with a person who's had a serious issue, guiding them. I don't do the work. I'm not saying I do the work, but I guide them. And in 13 weeks or 15 weeks or however long the process takes, that person is literally a different person. And I'm not saying your personality changes, but mm-hmm. your expression changes. I would not be sitting here, as I said, if I had not healed from it, mm-hmm. from what I've gone through. I would not be writing. I would not be healing. I would not be teaching. I would not be guiding people mm-hmm. if I had not healed it myself. And that's what you can look forward to. Not necessarily healing and guiding people, but loving your life. I get up in the morning and I'm like, yay, what is happening today that is going to make me excited? What am I going to create in my day today to make me excited? Instead of recreating that whole cycle of crap, really. Want a better excuse.
Now, when you take couples and you use sex as a tool to heal their relationship,
yes,
does it have to be physical sex, or can you have a mind fuck?
Yes, to both. It can be used both ways. Obviously, again, a relationship needs to work from both sides. And the first question I ask when any couple comes to me is, and I'll ask them individually, not in each other's company, do you really want this relationship to work? That's your first question. If one of the partners is slightly unsure, doesn't want to, doesn't know if they can forgive, go through the process or whatever, end the relationship, goodbye. You know, don't waste your time, because you both have to be committed to the process. Yes, you can use physical, spiritual and emotional sexual interaction to heal a relationship, yes.
So how would, for lack of a better term, an astral sex scene work?
I actually had a woman phone me this morning that it had actually happened to her last night with her and her partner. They both woke up this morning and went, were you in that same experience?
But was that a dream, or was it?
It was, well, after speaking to her for a bit, it was more of an astral thing. Astral projection and astral traveling are skills that anyone can learn. And if you're going to do it with a partner, you can draw your partner. Some people take their cats or their dogs onto the astral plane with them as well. So that can happen as well. It's practice. It's like any spiritual awareness, any growth process, any relationship. You don't just get into a relationship and both sit back and it whacks. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It takes work. It takes commitment and connection to each other. Whether you're going to use sexual healing or emotional healing or counseling or whatever, it takes work.
I remember you mentioning once that your sexual energy is your most creative.
Yes.
And then you went even further. Other than that, I still need to work on that whole sexual thing being where you're at your most creative. And then you went further and you said, when you have an orgasm, your what falls away?
Your auric field.
Your auric field.
Collapsed.
And I thought that was awfully scary. Can you explain that?
Well, you know what your aura is. Your auric field keeps your energy and everything in place and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you have an orgasm, yes, your auric field collapses, but it has a very real reason. Okay. As we said, to go back to the male energy and the female energy and how the process works. Okay, the man deposits his sperm and into the egg and dachache. Right. But something energetic happens as well. The man transfers a life spark. Now, a life spark is not going to pass through your auric field.
Okay.
It's not going to, because it's my life spark from me,
so that
going to you.
And then we
so
create that
creation of life, that life spark, cannot happen while there is that spiritual barrier there.
Okay.
Can't happen. So the auric field collapses, and that's how the energetic spark gets transferred.
I think there are a couple of males who are going, oh, thank God we were counted in this conversation, because we just started with the beginning, and women are like, you know, these wonderful incubatory beings. Yeah. And then now men are going like, okay, yeah. So I also give something, which we all know, obviously.
No, obviously, but it has to be a balance between the two.
So, and then you also said that's...
No, wait.
Okay.
Does the man's auric field also collapse?
Both of them have to.
Okay, so his has to collapse in order for the spark to get out.
To get out, and hers has to collapse for the spark to get in.
And when these auric fields are collapsed, a soul can enter.
Well, what happens in physical conception is that the physical vehicle is created, and a spark of animation is added. A soul joins later.
Okay, so, but you said this auric field collapses when you orgasm. Now, yes. I'm sorry to break it to you, but so many women fake it. How do they fall pregnant?
It's not... Lovely.
Am I being difficult?
Nice, you're being difficult. Thank you for that. The auric field doesn't, it normally collapses during orgasm. It doesn't have to be during an orgasm. It can be because that collapse is not a 5-hour scenario. Mm. It's literally collapses and recreates itself. It's a split second.
Is that also why you feel so drained? Well, actually, men feel drained and women feel energized.
Well, what has just happened? The man has transferred his energy into the feminine energy. So he would feel drained, and a woman would say, let's go some more, and he's going, I don't think so, not today, honey. Although there are a lot of men that are multi-orgasmic. You can actually train yourself to have multiple orgasms as a man and a woman.
Also with that, you said when your auric field collapses, you can get attachments.
Yes.
How does that work?
If the partner that you're having sex with has a... for want of a better explanation, I'm not saying demons with horns and stuff. A demonic, what they call a demonic.
Do demons have horns?
Depends on which demons you're talking about. Anyway, moving on. But
if, a lower level energy.
Yes, a lower level energy, a more dense, more restrictive kind of energy that most people would call a demonic energy. That energy, if it's attached to the one partner, because remember, those energies can't attach without your auric field letting them in for some reason. The same as disease can't get in unless you allow it in. You will have allowed somehow that energy attaches to you. When your auric field collapses, if your energy is better than mine, or mine is better than yours, and I have the same predilection to you that allowed the energy into your auric field in the first place, it will reattach. It can shift itself across to me. Yes.
That's why there's a value judgment there, and I have to call you on it. What do you mean if your energy is better than?
Okay, that was a value judgment, yes. And I'm sorry about that.
Would you like to rephrase?
Yes, I would. I'm not talking about better or worse. You know, sometimes I talk in
shorthand.
Okay. Higher, lower, a more of an energy that entity might want to be attached to.
Or if your energy is brighter than the person who's got this attachment.
And you have clubs where you can go and have sex. You know, there's S&M clubs, there's gay sex clubs and other places. Very often you will find what people have called incubi and succubi from a demonic perspective will inhabit those places. Because when you are vulnerable, they can attach. And if you've got a very bright energy, they can attach to you. But again, only if you have the predilection or the wound that will allow them to enter your auric field.
Can you before the time say, stop it, I'm not having anything attached to me, none of that? Can you?
Yes.
Okay, so you can make a decision and then I think that's like woo-woo stuff.
It gets very woo-woo, but... Mm-hmm. It's all about what you allow and what you don't allow in your own space. As creators, we are all creators, and we can create our own environment. So if you decide, I'm never going to have an attachment, thank you very much, it won't happen.
What I also wanted to find out, because you mentioned that you can manifest at your highest level.
With sexual energy.
With sexual energy.
Yes.
How does that work? Because that's great to know. Mm. Because I think we know that you vibrate better when you're feeling better and you're kind of high. So
Correct. Can
you help us how that works? Because then we can all have orgasms while we think of our little house at the sea that we're going to get.
I love the way she puts these things.
Does it work like that?
Very, very much like that. But remember, it can work for an individual in a masturbatory process. It can work between a couple and in a group.
But you'll have to concentrate a lot. I mean, when you... I don't know about other people, but I often can't think.
But remember, manifestation comes from your heart. It comes from feeling, not from thinking. So if you have... What you can do is in the room where you are with your partner or in the group or whatever, is stick up a picture or draw a sigil or draw an image that's very quick to look at that you can absorb in the environment where you are focusing. Now, but if you're going to have spiritual sex as such, it's not a wham bam thank you bam kind of scenario. It's not a scenario that you don't plan. You plan it, and this is what your objectives are in doing that process.
What is spiritual sex? I love how you kick
off
your shoes.
Sorry, I need to take my shoes off. I can't anymore. Spiritual sex is
just your shoes.
No. Only my shoes, I promise.
Okay.
No, you don't want me to take my shirt off. Your spiritual sex, okay, is about connecting you as a couple,
right,
as a partner, connecting to you as your divine being. You can use it for all of those scenarios. If you want to manifest through the sexual interaction, because remember, orgasm energy, sexual energy, is where life is created. It's the most creative you can get. So it will be a very focused process. It's not just an in-out, in-out thing. It can take a few hours sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And as you build up the process, you keep referring to that image that's on the wall in your environment. As you practice, you can actually be in two minds, so to speak, where you can actually have your physical manifestation and you can have your physical experience both happening at the same time. Yes.
Okay. And the spiritual sex, that's where the sacred comes in.
Sex is sacred no matter how it's had.
Okay, now you're going to go like, sex is sacred, but now I'm thinking, what about the time when it's a violation, where it's without the other person's consent?
Like I said to you, you will not have the physical person's consent, no.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are working on a higher level of awareness in your soul, at your soul level, you need to learn things like unconditional love, forgiveness, all that acceptance of all, okay? You cannot forgive something if there's nothing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't learn unconditional love if there's nothing happened in your life that needs to experience that. The person that raped me, I have no problem with at all anymore. And I actually can say that I love them in their own environment. I'm not going to allow them into mine again, obviously. But I love them for what they have brought into my life. Because I had to learn to love myself through that violation. And I know it sounds really horrible and sounds like, which woman or which man wants to be raped or violated?
Or child.
In our physical, or child.
Mm-hmm.
In our physical awareness and our physical environment, no, we do not ask for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it needs to happen for us to learn the higher levels of awareness and lessons.
You know, it's a really harsh thing to hear.
No, it is. It's horrible.
You know, when you go like, that little girl was just raped. I mean, it's so horrendous.
It's horrendous.
I can't even talk about it.
It's horrendous.
Having difficulties. And then, you know, you go, because my inclination would be to blame God, you know, and to say, what an awful God, what a horror. No, but when I say mine, I speak as a collective.
As a lot of humans, people.
We go like, there is no God. There is no loving
God.
How can God exist?
How can God exist to allow that to happen?
You know, but yes. and that goes, it doesn't just go for that. I mean, there are different circumstances. There's wars, there's cancers, which everybody is
talking
about.
Look around
our
world for 5 seconds. Yeah.
You know, so then you can go like, oh, what a God you are.
Mm.
Good job.
But, you know. Kevin, what if the person, the soul, is not capable of learning that lesson? I mean, you get people like yourself who are able to take that horrible experience and transmute it into emotional gold. And then you get people who are broken and are broken for the rest of their lives by this incident.
Everyone can heal. It's whether they want to heal or not. And at the end of the day, it comes across in often in my healing practice as well. I can say what I wanted to you. If you are going to hold on to that pain and not release it, there's nothing I can do about it. Because I have no right as a healer, a teacher, a priest, a spiritual teacher, I have no right as a human being to dictate to you what your experience must be. Yes, this experience, you've had this experience. And it's very often, it's difficult for us outside of the process to look at it and go, well, this is da-da-da. Some people identify themselves with their pain. Some people will never let go of that pain.
Because they don't know who they are without it.
They don't know who they are without it. And, you know, as a healer and teacher, it's been a big lesson for me, is I have no right to judge them. I have no right to make them change. I have no right to question what they're doing. All I can do is say, I can help you when you are ready. If you never want to change that perspective, that's your choice, and I have to respect it. It's the same as I do have a lot to say about organized religion, but I don't criticize necessarily individual Christians or anything like that, simply because they have a right to believe what they want to believe. I cannot dictate to them, like they believe they can dictate to me, what I should believe.
When you started out and you mentioned Tantra, you also spoke about sex magic. Now, what is that? Apart from a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, what is sex magic?
We were talking about it earlier, manifestation with sexuality.
Okay. So that
creating a goal by sexual interaction. And as I said, it can be individual, it can be couples, or it can be groups. Yes.
I love the fact that it can be individual, because there are a lot of people who don't have partners.
Yes.
You know, where you go like, okay, so if I don't have a partner, what? what?
But you can still have, I'm sorry, but you can still have magical sex with yourself.
Oh, yes, I understand that. But, you know, sometimes one needs to clear this up. And as you know, that sometimes we don't want to go there because, you know, we have baggage with our sexuality. And so, you know, you already have baggage having sex with someone else and then doing it, you know, with yourself, you go like, I really don't, you know, so we all have different issues at different times.
And again, like I said, it's not my
place
to judge or tell you what you should or shouldn't do. But very often people will use exactly your argument, what you're saying now, as an excuse not to interact with people, as an excuse not to grow, not to get out. And the way the universe works, the way it works is that we learn, grow, and experience through relationship. When you are on your own, you don't learn. You can do a lot of introspection. You can do a lot of meditation. You can do all that kind of stuff. But you only get to learn and experience when you are in a relationship, be it friendship or anything else.
Okay, but hold up. I'm not discarding that comment because I believe that. But I also don't want to go that you can't have a relationship with yourself. Because
of course not.
That's one of the greatest moments where you go like, oh my God, isn't this lovely being with myself? You know?
No, absolutely. So
that's kind of like almost sometimes better than being with someone else.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to find out from you, how often do you have to go through this process? Because I know you mentioned you've been raped, and then, you know, when you go through your healing, I assume there are layers where you go, okay, now I'm good, now I need to refocus, now I'm good, now I need to deal with it again.
The onion of pain.
That's nicely put.
Don't you love that picture? You know, I just want to burn it.
You know, it's the only way it makes sense to me, because every time you peel a layer off, you think, I'm done with it.
I'm done.
And there it is again.
And there it
but
is
it gets
again.
Smaller anyway.
But you know, but you know what? The whole thing is that people get irritated when that happens. You know, they'll be happily do-da-do-da-do-da. But I've been dealing with this all my life. Why has it come up again? The reason it's come up again is because you have evolved.
Oh, that's nice.
Because you have grown. It would not have come up again if you'd already dealt with it.
Do you ever deal with it completely?
It depends. Like if you've got that image of the onion, okay, mm-hmm. Some things will go two layers down. Some things will go all the way to the core of your being. My issue with my life, okay, and I told you about the adoption and everything else, okay, mm-hmm. is rejection.
Right.
I actually, and it's still something that I'm working with today, okay, 49 years later, all right, I still get very, very nervous approaching a man. Okay, I do. And yeah, I'm a spiritual teacher and I know better and all the rest of it, but that essence of rejection is still, even after all these years, is still there. Even though I understand it, even though I've forgiven it, even though I've done so much work on it, that essence of rejection is still maintained. And I believe that fear of rejection will probably be with me for the rest of my life. But I get better at dealing with it. I get better at experiencing it. I get better at handling it and growing through it as we go through our processing.
Okay. And in your body, how did it make you move once you started going, I'm dealing with it. I've dealt with it. Mm. Obviously, I'm going to deal with it again as transformation occurs. But for now, I'm kind of like,
I'm okay.
How did your body feel once you started settling into that space of, it's not so threatening. I'm fine. I'm going to be fine.
It feels lighter. It doesn't feel as so heavy. I'm not saying I don't wake up in a mood every now and then. I do. I think we all do. But generally, I get up excited in the morning. Mm-hmm. Whereas 10 years ago, I'd get up going, oh God, and just put my head back under the pillow.
And feeling sexy?
Yeah. I have my moments, yeah.
After that, was it easier for you to go there?
It's easier for me to embrace... to embrace having a sexual experience with someone, yes. It's still something I'm working on. The whole sexual healing is still quite a new branch of my practice as well. I've only been focusing on it for the last 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. So it's also still a process for me as well. So I'm still learning and growing through it too. I wouldn't do a striptease in front of everyone. And I mean, you heard me say earlier, I'm not taking my shirt off in the studio. But that's because of my own self-esteem issues, not because of the sexual issues. I'm not going down that road. We're not exploring my sexual history.
No, but self-esteem. Yes. Self-esteem is something that I think all humans struggle with in one form or another.
Yes.
Could sexual healing help that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you would say the more you touch yourself, the more you like yourself.
The more you love yourself, the more other people will love you. To put it, take it out of that that terminology. Mm. The more you love yourself, the more you allow others to love you.
So the base chakra,
yes,
is the seat of the sexual energy.
No.
Where is the seat?
Sacral chakra.
The second one, the orange one.
Is it in the orange one? Okay.
Your base chakra is survival. It's survival.
Okay. Yeah. So that second one, the second chakra, what kind of exercises can one do to help the process along while you're on your own? You know, colors, movements.
Orange is always very good. We all look at Lisa with the orange.
So regular listeners to the show would know that I don't like the color orange.
There's a whole lot we can talk about there.
No. But I am wearing orange today, and I am coming to terms with it. It's more on a vibrational level, and my, you know, my complexion. But this particular shade of orange suits me well. And
she looks stunning.
So can we move along?
Yes,
thank
we can. All right. Again, as Liesl was saying, orange.
Mm-hmm.
Bring orange in to your environment. Orange is a very creative, very passionate, very exciting color. So it'll also, in your offices, It's a good color for an office. It's a good color to be around you in a creative environment.
Mm-hmm.
Bring orange into the space.
Laying on of hands on that spot?
Laying on of hands, massaging. Mm-hmm. Massaging. I mean, it's very easy to find the sacral. There's a little hollow just under your belly button.
Okay.
Even if you've got a belly, the hollow's still there. Massage that.
Especially if you have a belly.
She massage, says with a flat stomach.
Massage it. You can turn around on your back, more or less in the same place. You can massage it there as well. You can rub it there as well.
Specific oils?
You can use Lang Lang. It's good for in embracing sexuality.
Speaking into the spot, what would you say? I love.
Because that would go, I create.
Mm-hmm.
I love. Yeah.
I'm safe.
Yes, I'm safe. Safe would go more with your base chakra, though.
They connected,
yeah, they're very close, but mm-hmm. your safe would be more related to your base chakra.
Okay, I think our hour is up.
Time goes by so quickly.
Palisa sitting there means your time is up.
No, when Palisa comes back, is that it? When Palisa comes back, then we've got to shut up.
Grim Reaper,
yes, because she tries to show us from the control room and we ignore her.
Well, I can't see her.
No. But when she comes in, we know.
You know, that's it.
Time for us.
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having
Kevin
me.
McGee with a K. And we said that you are from Firelight Essence.
FYRELITE. Yes.
.co.za. Yeah.
Lee, thank you so much for today.
Friend, as always, it's been an absolute blast and a pleasure. You take care of yourself and you back at home, you do the same.
Thanks, Palisa. I'm Shemaine Harris. Bye bye now.
This is CliffCentral.com.